Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to welcome those of you that are here and welcome everybody that's watching on being live streamed on Facebook. It's amazing to me that the technology that we have at our disposal to do this. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul, how he had access to this technology. He would have been sending emails. He would have been texting people right and left. He would have been sending out live streaming from jail in Rome. He would have done it all. But just very fortunate that we have this technology to connect our brothers who are at home. And those, we've had a number of people watching the last few weeks that aren't members of our congregation. And we want to welcome you whenever this craziness ends to come worship with us live and in person. We've had a number of responses and some questions, and we look forward to meeting you. Tell you today, I'd like for us to talk about something that I'm sure has gone through many of our minds before, not only at this time, but just in our life. Why me? You know, when things happen in our lives that are not necessarily the way we would like them to go. You know, if you remember, if you've seen the old Peanuts cartoons, you know, it just seems like Charlie Brown's always getting something happening to him. I think of that character in Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, you know, just kind of that, you know, why me? And this is a whole nother sermon. Why not you? Why not you? You know, what makes you so different from everybody else? But that's a whole nother sermon. But I would like for us to look at some of the things that we all go through. And I tell you, if you haven't gone through these things, I applaud you. I would love to shake your hand, but we can't do it. We'll elbow bump right now. But I don't know of anybody personally that has not gone through things in life. You know, things like financial setbacks. We've had some of our own members recently have some of those with some of the layoffs going on. Changes of jobs, things like that, you know, changes in the economy. We've all had financial setbacks. Health issues. You know, I picture Barbara and Letta right now shaking their heads. They're both watching right now. And, you know, you have some health issues that can sometimes get you down. Some things that you don't expect. Whether it's stubbing your toe and breaking a toe to illnesses, diseases, things like that, that it can affect your life. And you wonder many times, why me? Things were going great. Why me? The loss of loved ones. You know, we go through those things. Could you imagine if no one ever died? We talk about overcrowding today. What if nobody's ever died? You know, that's just one of God's ways of the system he created. You know, sometimes we suffer due to various things. Sin is one of the reasons we suffer. Sometimes our own. You know, a lot of people say, why me? Well, look at the life you live. There's been times I've wanted to tell people that are maybe not even in the church, and they're complaining, why me? Let me explain an opinion of mine, just as an observer from outside of your life, some things I'm noticing about the way you live your life. But you know what? We can suffer due to sin that's not even ours. From the sin of others, we can sin or we can suffer. When somebody does something, there's a ripple effect. And sin affects more than just the person responsible for the sin. And sin, a lot of times we underestimate how it affects people. People say, oh, you know, it's my life. I can do what I want. It doesn't affect anybody else. Rethink that one, because it does affect other people. And then there's just, you know, consequences. Consequences of life. Somebody that maybe faces some health issues, but they've lived a life that didn't do anything to promote good health. Maybe ate a horrible diet, didn't, you know, abused their body. That's just consequences. That's cause and effect. That's one of the things, that's one of the first things kids learn. Cause and effect. You know, you touch that hot stove. They learn real fast not to do that again. You know, we learn that as people usually, but consequences, you know, sometimes we suffer due to consequences, sometimes ours, sometimes other people's. And then there's just the natural order of things, what God has created. God has created our bodies. We get older. Things start aching. Things stop working the way that, you know, the joints start, you know, stiffening up. It's not necessarily abuse. It's not necessarily sin. It just is. And so when we give that famous battle cry, why me? We need to remember that there are some various reasons why things happen. And it might have been brought on ourselves, and it might just be. But the question is not, why do we have to face these different trials? It's how do we react to them? That's the key. You know, we can either, I don't know of anybody, I personally don't know of anybody that hasn't had some sort of trial and pitfall in their life. I know I have. But we can either react as kind of just the whine or cry baby, you know, wah, 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 or we can put that towel around us, clip it on with a safety pin, and handle it like a superhero. You know, that's our choice. Isn't it amazing growing up? You put a hat on and you're transformed. You take a towel and a safety pin, you put it around you, you're transformed into something. And we tend to lose that as we, not that I want us to go around with a towel around us, but people are going around with we might use it as a mask. But not that we need to put a towel, but the attitude. You put a cowboy gun on, you're the roughest, toughest cowboy as a kid west of the Mississippi. You put a towel on, you're a superhero. We have a choice to face the trials in our life, instead of the why me, whining and crying and moaning her fate, sitting down in the middle of the road, I'll just eat worms. That attitude. Or we can take it like a champ. Okay? In my eyes, one of the greatest examples is the example of the life of Job. Job is universally known. I've seen people, and I'm sure you have too, this Job is a society, cultural phenomenon. People that have never been to church, and I bet you you've seen this, they will come out with that saying, you must have the patience of Job. They've never set foot in church. They've maybe never read the Bible. But yet they know about Job. You've got the patience of Job. And Job did have patience. He had courage. He faced, he never, why me? And I'd like for us to look at that for a few minutes. In Job 1, and Chris read this for us, this just kind of sets the stage with the kind of man that Job was. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz. And this was near the Tigris and Euphrates River, the area that we would think of today as Iraq. That's the setting. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. There's the kind of man he was. He lived in the Middle East, what we would call the Middle East today. He respected God. He feared him. He had a reverent respect of God. And he shunned evil. And he was blameless and upright. There wasn't a lot of things people could throw, not a lot of mud they could throw at Job because of the kind of person he was. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. He had a large family. He had sons, he had daughters. He was a family man. Loved them. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep. That's a lot of sheep. That he had a lot of land to be able to feed this livestock. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. I don't like camels, they spit at you. 500 yoke of oxen. Now, the way I understand that is 1,000 oxen. You know, the way I'm understanding it, because a yoke, you would have 2 oxen to pull the yoke and whatever, whether it be a wagon, a plow, whatever. And so I'm assuming 1,000 oxen, 500 female donkeys. Those are donkeys that can give birth to more. And a very large household. Not just, when it talks about household, it's not just talking about his children. We know that he had numerous children, but servants, their children, the household that he was responsible for was very large. So that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. In just those 3 verses, we see an awful lot about the kind of person Job was. But that's only the beginning, okay? Skipping down to verse 13. Now there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. That gives us a little insight on his family, that they were close. That the brothers and sisters came together and shared meals together and fellowshipped together. And they were all together at the oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." Job was going about a normal day when all of a sudden this servant comes running up and tells him this horrible news. That your sheep have been raided. The servants that were watching them have been killed with the edge of the sword. I barely got away with my life. I alone of that group have lived to tell you. Tells you a little bit more, or I'm maybe reading between the lines, but you see how loyal the servant was to Job. The relationship. He got out. You could have been headed to the hills to get away from this, and nobody would have blamed you. What does he do? He goes back to Job to tell him, to inform him of this. He didn't have to do that. But he goes and informs Job of this big disaster. It gets worse. While he was still speaking, while that servant was talking to Job, another servant runs up. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you." So far, all of his possessions have been taken. This picture of this man that we saw in those first three verses, and all that he had that made him so rich, that made him the greatest man of the East, has now been taken from him. And he's lost everything. It gets worse. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people. And they are all dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you." Just when you think it couldn't get worse, "I've lost all of my wealth." And then you find out your family has been killed. They were all together in one place in a happy situation, together, loving each other. When a disaster of nobody's doing other than the devil came and befell upon Job, and on top of his possessions, he's lost his beloved children. I personally cannot think of anything that would be worse than that. I've had some financial setbacks before in life. Obviously, I've recovered from it. I couldn't imagine losing my family. How does Job react? Then Job arose, tore his robe and shaved his head as a sign of humility. A sign of humility. And he fell to the ground and worshiped. He didn't clench his fist and look up into heaven. Why, God? Why did you do this to me? I've always served you. What? If there is a God and he loves me, why did he allow that to happen? Do you ever hear people talk like that? If God loves me, God is supposed to be a loving God. Why did this happen? You see Job shaving his head, ripping his clothes, and falling down on the ground, a sign of humility and worshiping God. That shows you Job's character. And then he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He understood the concept. I came into this world with nothing. God has blessed me. God has allowed me some unbelievable things in life. He's allowed me to have these great possessions. He's blessed me with children that I love dearly. God has shared them with me for X many years. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. He didn't, "Why me?" He didn't, "God, how could you?" He didn't sin. He didn't blame God. He worshiped him. In chapter 2, I think you know the story, how the devil and God, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Oh, well, look at all the things he's got. If he didn't have those, he'd buckle, he'd fold, and turn away from you, God. I don't think so. Do whatever you want. Just don't affect him. So he loses everything. The devil comes back. Well, yeah, he lost all this stuff, but it's not affecting him. When it affects him, he'll fold like a newspaper. God says, "Okay, my money's on Job. Just don't kill him." So the devil inflicted boils on Job. I don't know if you've ever had a boil. I've had them before, one. Tender, sore. You even get near it, it's sore. I've had some blisters that were tender. Job had them all over his body. That's chapter 2. And skipping down into chapter 2, in verse 9 and 10, his wife. Now you got to remember, she's lost everything too. It's not just Job. She's lost her children. She's lost the wealth that the family has had. She approaches Job. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." A good, loving, supportive wife. Job accomplished all this without us. No, she's lost everything. She's responding like many people would. Do you still hold to your integrity, Job? That's all we've got. When you boil it down, that's all we've got, is our integrity, our character, whatever you want to call it. Money's going to come, and money's going to go. People are going to come and go. Our own life will come and go. But all we've got is our integrity, and Job's holding on to it. Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. He didn't. He didn't blame God. He didn't let out a list of foul words. He held to his integrity. And in Job 3:15, in the next chapter, we see a verse that sums him up, sums up his attitude. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even if Job loses his own life, I still trust in God. That's the attitude I want to have. And it goes back, we kind of come full circle, it goes back to that question. It's not, why do we have to face things? We're going to. We are going to face it. We're facing things right now. It's not, why do we have to face them? It's, how do we react to them? I think Job is a wonderful example for us to go into this new week, and as people bombard us with that attitude of blaming God, curse God and die, when we're encountered with that, have that attitude of Job. Though he slay me, I will trust him. The lesson's yours if you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through repenting of sin that is separating you from God. Those of you that are watching the live streaming, if you haven't put your Lord on in baptism, that's what gets you into the kingdom, is being obedient. You know, you've heard the word of God. We confess that our belief, we believe in the word of God. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We repent of our sins. And Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If that is separating you from God, do whatever it takes to repent and to be baptized. Those of you that are watching that are not members of the church, send us an email. Send us a message. We would love to study with you. Whatever your need, please let your needs be known as we stand and sing.